The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Churchill said, "Those who fail to learn from history are condemned to repeat it." Kevin Hallinan believes that certainly applies to business. Welcome to Winning Business Radio here at W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. And now, your host, Kevin Hallinan.
Welcome back to Winning Business Radio. I am your host, Kevin Hallinan. The mission of this show, as regular listeners know, is to offer insights and advice to help people avoid the mistakes of others. You know, to learn best practices, the how-tos, the what-tos, the what-not-tos, to be challenged and certainly and hopefully to be inspired by the successes of others. It's interesting, though, every successful person I've ever talked to has had some form of failure in their lives and careers. So while we all have to get our knees skinned once in a while, I'm driven to keep those scrapes from needing major surgery. Let's endeavor to learn from history so we don't repeat it. Today, my guest is Martha Slate, partner at Commonwealth Financial Group. Here's her bio. Martha Slate is a certified financial planner with a wealth of experience. She knows that juggling business, personal, and family life isn't always easy. Martha strives to educate her clients about how their personal, business, and estate plans all interact with one another. She helps business owners make well-informed financial decisions to achieve their financial goals, preserve their family wealth, build business equity, and manage their legacy. Even though her approach to wealth management is extremely comprehensive in nature, her unique process and unified approach simplifies, I can talk, the complexity of modern-day wealth management. Martha grew up on the family farm, so she knows the value of hard work and perseverance, and she brings that work ethic into everything she does. Leveraging the collective knowledge of the Commonwealth Financial Group team, Martha ensures that all stakeholders are on the same page and working towards the same goals. Whether those goals include preparing for milestones like transitioning a business to the next generation, selling to a buyer, or just being able to be financially independent, she says that she promises the highest level of attention, insight, and capability. Martha holds a bachelor's degree in business administration, is a certified financial planner, by the way, from RIT. I didn't say that. I wrote it and didn't say it for some reason, and is a certified financial planner, a certified family business specialist, and a certified business exit consultant. She lives in Westport, Mass, and is an avid golfer. Martha, welcome to Winning Business Radio.
Thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate you taking time. Oh, yeah, awesome. So you grew up in Western New York, Dansville, right?
Yep.
I looked it up. Population, 4,420. Talk about a small town USA, right? It actually did. I saw the curve go down slightly. And you literally grew up on the family farm. So first, tell us about Dansville and what it was like to grow up there.
Dansville was kind of Mayberry RFD. It was a great place to grow up. Yep. But I actually grew up 10 miles out of town. It was in between Dansville, Mount Morris, and Nundae, New York. And I grew up on a family farm that had been in the family since 1851.
Wow.
So it had been for my great-great-great-grandfather, I think, bought it and then built it. And it was he and then his son ran it. Then my grandfather didn't really like running the farm so much, liked it a little bit. He was a politician. Mm-hmm. And then my dad loved it. He was great with animals. He had gone off to Cornell and really loved that part of having a farm. Mm-hmm. In addition, they had a couple of businesses on the side, as most owner-managed businesses do. They had an insurance business. They were very active in the banking community. Mm. So just like the business owners I deal with now, there's always a lot of adjacencies that work within, I call it that portfolio of wealth.
Mm-hmm. So what do you learn growing up on a family farm? I imagine a lot, not just about how to milk a cow, that sort of thing, but you know, sure, talk about that. But what else do you learn growing up on a family farm?
I was a dairy princess. You do.
That's funny.
You know, there's always plenty of work to do. You never said to my parents, "Oh, I'm bored," because they had plenty of work for you to do. Whether it was helping dad out around the barns or the crops, or helping mom with, you know, we grew a lot of our own food. Mm-hmm. And so there was always plenty enough to do. So what do you learn? You learn that you get up every morning, you work really hard, you enjoy what you do, and it's a good life.
And for some family farms, it's a living. Others sustain it with, as you said, adjacencies.
Yeah, exactly.
How big was the farm? What did you grow specifically?
So it was just under 500 acres, 489.
Yep.
And we had a dairy. When I was young, we had a dairy, we had sheep, we had pigs, and those were all 4-H projects from my siblings. So dairy, sheep, pigs, we had beef, we had a donkey at one time, we had a horse, wow. We had, you know, obviously cats and dogs and, you know, chickens. So, you know, it was a lot of animals around, but it was a lot of fun too.
A lot of entrepreneurial lessons there. So talk about your siblings.
So I'm one of six. I am number 5 out of 6. Mm-hmm. You know, we all are still very close today. And, you know, it was a great place to grow up. My dad had 6 brothers and sisters. Wow. So there were 7 in that family. So, and they were still very close. So I remember family holidays of being, you know, 40 or 50 people coming up to the farm. All my cousins lived in the city and, you know, just running around the barns and everything. It was, you know, Thanksgiving was a big event And then we'd have another little holiday called Christmas trees, where we'd go up on the Christmas trees land that we had, and everybody would chop down a Christmas tree and put it on the back of the wagon and then bring it down, and my mom would feed everybody.
That's fun. That sounds like a ton of fun.
Yeah.
And so everyone's left Western New York? Well, your brothers and sisters have?
Except one sister still, well, a couple of cousins and one sister still lives there.
And so you must have a lot of nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Everybody's all over the place.
Did your parents always run the farm? Yes, they had businesses at the same time, but was there ever a time they didn't run the farm? And
no.
Where is it now?
So
is it still in the family?
My dad was born in our dining room.
Wow.
And died in the kitchen.
Oh, my word.
So the farm had been, you know, there's very few people that can say that today.
Yeah,
you know?
That's for sure. And is it still in the family?
No, we sold it right after my dad passed. Mm. Nobody wanted to take it over. None of the cousins wanted to take it over. Farming is, and my heart goes out to all those farmers this past few years. It's just brutal. It's hard. It's a hard life, and you have to enjoy it.
You have to be passionate. I would certainly agree with that.
Yeah.
So what were some of your early interests? I mean, you made it to financial services. We'll get to your experience in retail.
It's kind of insurance, which is,
you
know, I remember my mom started, they did property and casualty insurance. Mm-hmm. And that was the job that my mom got when my younger brother went off to school. Mm-hmm. And so Livingston Mutual Fire Insurance Company, and then it kept getting eaten up.
Yeah.
But so I kind of knew insurance and loss ratios and understood it kind of. I remember going on sales calls with my dad to talk about insurance products at that point. So, and I loved fashion. I remember even as a girl, the 4-H projects, I always did a lot of, you know, sewing, and I made all my clothes, and it was hysterical when I look back at some of the stuff I made. But I loved fashion, and when it was time to get my first job, I got a job at Ferguson's Dress Shop in Danville, New York, and started
10-mile
working
commute
as
to
a
work.
salesperson there.
Yep.
And then I went off to school at St. Bonaventure for 2 years in accounting, and I liked it, but I wanted to continue on retail and clothing and RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology, at that point had a fashion merchandising 4-year degree with co-ops, which I really like, and I really recommend to anybody that can go on to a co-op school. It's great to be able to work in your industry before you graduate from college.
Yeah, that's a huge plus. I know around here Northeastern does it. I believe Wentworth does it. Yeah.
It's so important. I mean, I went to my first co-op and it was at a big department store in Washington, D.C. And I really just didn't like it. And I did my next co-op at a family owned company and I liked it, you know, but, you know, it. And so there was difference pluses and minuses. At that time, you had a guidance counselor that I went in to speak with, and she gave me some, you know, we kind of sorted what I liked, what I didn't like. And I had a lot of experience when I went in to get my first job out of college.
It sounds like it. But you ended up with a business administration degree versus fashion.
Yeah.
Why that choice?
Because I like the business part of it.
Yeah.
You know, my life today, people always say, oh, fashion and business is so different. No, because, you know, I was in retail. I worked with a lot of major chains, and it was really about developing a business and profit centers and what worked and what didn't work. And planning was critical to making your numbers. You had to plan what you were going to do. Same thing I do with my clients today is help them plan for success.
Well, I know you know this, but, and probably most would, but a family farm, a huge component of that is the business of the farm.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
From ordering, from supply chain to distribution, right? You're selling to somebody and you're buying from somebody.
Yep.
Bills and income, for sure. Why'd you choose St. Bonaventure and then you transferred? Why'd you choose RIT? Two good schools.
Because of the 4-year co-op program and the 4-year fashion merchandise Bachelor of Science degree, as well as the 4-year or is the co-op program.
Yeah.
So both of those.
So when did you and how did you make it to Massachusetts? Was that through? I noticed TJX. We'll get there in a minute. We'll probably get there after the break. But how did you make it to Mass?
Well, I started out. I went right to New York City. Mm-hmm. Was there for a while. Then went to San Diego for a buying job, and then back to Connecticut, and then to Massachusetts to work for Marshalls.
Okay. That's part of TJX, yep.
Yeah.
Let me take you back to Ferguson's for a second. Here's a good reason for it. What lessons did you learn? And you were, you know, young for sure, as anyone is at that age or at that time of their life. What did you learn from Ferguson's in particular?
When you're, you always had to, it was not only about selling, it was, you know, making sure inventory was correct, you had to clean up everything, you had to put things together. It was many facets to the job of selling in a small dress shop in a small town in Western New York. Mm-hmm. But and Edwina Ferguson, who was a great lady and inherited the store from her father, was just a great role model. She was always well-dressed. She was always a part of the community. She was a real class act. And, you know, really, I think she gave me some roles as far as role model to be a woman in business and be successful.
What's been your biggest challenge up to this point? You look, you say being a woman in business. So let me clarify the question that was terribly asked. I apologize.
That's right.
being a woman in business, what's been your business biggest challenge to date? That's a big question, but.
So remember, I was in retail for a few years.
Yep.
That being a woman in business was not hard there. Mm. Getting to the next level of management was difficult. But I would say in financial services, it was a man's world. It's quickly shifting because it's really about working with people, understanding what they need, and helping them along the way. So a lot more women are finding financial services, financial planning, and being very successful at it.
All right, I want to come back to that, but we'll take our first break right here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Martha Slate of the Commonwealth Financial Group.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
Is your pet overweight? Suffer from itchy skin and coat problems? Showing signs of food allergies? Then do your pet a favor. Stop by Fiesta Pet Deli, South Florida's original and only fresh food deli for pets. Prepared daily and FDA approved with products like Bravo, Nature's Variety, and BioComplete. Listen, dogs and cats are carnivores. 90% of their diet should be meat. That dry kibble you put in their bowl every day contains less than half of what their bodies require. Veterinarian owned and operated, Fiesta Pet Deli has one mission: to get your pet as healthy as possible. Give them a call today at 954-971-2500 or come check out their new store at the Festival Flea Marketplace at Sample Road and the Turnpike in Pompano, Florida. They also offer free local delivery, shipping throughout the United States. Check out their website at www.realfoodforpets.com or just Google Fiesta Pet Deli. If you truly love your pet and care about their health, stop by Fiesta Pet Deli. Call today at 954-971-2500.
You can tell what's wrong with a car just by sitting next to it at a red light. You can tear down a big block engine in 26 minutes. You know cars. We can help you find more of them to work on. And together, we can get your small business moving in the right direction. At AT&T Advertising Solutions, we have more ways to reach more people. With print, online, mobile, and direct marketing, AT&T Advertising Solutions has local advertising experts to help your small business find more customers. Call 1-800-GET-REAL to learn more. AT&T, rethink possible.
Have you ever dreamt of being on the radio? Well, now is your chance. Be a radio show guest on the number one ranked internet radio station and promote you and your business for free. Yes, you heard it, free. Business advertising right here on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 now to get booked on one of our shows. That's 561-506-4031. Get your free advertising now.
Hey, this is Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
And now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind: to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back with Martha Slate, partner at Commonwealth Financial Group. Martha, we were talking about, just starting to talk about retail a little bit. And I want to ask you this. You've been in a number of larger companies, J. Jill, Fairmarket, Mediary, TJX in particular. We'll get to that one. What was the difference between the biggest differences working for a big company versus a small company? The things that are not as obvious to somebody.
You know, big company, there's a lot of systems, processes. You need to build your infrastructure and your smaller team. Family-run businesses, they're pretty much, you know, they're owner-managed. You're right there with people. The decisions are much quicker. And, you know, you can be a little bit more creative. You don't have those strict guidelines and rules, and you can... you know, propose something and see it get executed a lot quicker.
So talk about J. Jill. You were a buyer. I want to ask about that role. Big brand. What was it like to be a buyer now?
So actually, when I, my first job in New York City, I was not a buyer. I was a rep. And I worked with a lot of buyers around the country. And then I got, then I went to work as a buyer. So I was a buyer most of the time until then I became a manager. And then I did a lot of product development. So being a buyer is not that much different in what I do today as far as planning out my year, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to sell, what products are coming in, what products are going out, what's going to help me achieve my goal of, you know, making more profits for the company. Today, I help my clients make more profits and stay on their financial, you know, progress towards their goals. So it's, to me, it's very similar.
Interesting. So you spent some time in sales. There were a couple positions, fair market, new mediary. And it's interesting, you told me on the break, you figured out what you didn't want to do. So talk about that. That's a good lesson right there.
Yeah, it was high pressure sales. It was technology was coming in and, you know, it was the tech bubble. Everybody was enamored with it. And, you know, it was, you know, let's get in there. And it was high pressure sales on multiple, you know, it was multi-level selling to big organizations, something you probably coach very much of your team to.
Yeah.
But I realized that that wasn't for me. I like the personal touch. I like, you know, helping people, helping guide them towards their goals and, you know, just staying with them.
After that, you, well, I don't, the timeline's a little off for me, but that's okay. You were at TJX actually twice, but talk about the experience, what you did as a buyer for TJX. That's, you were at two different brands then?
Yeah, I was at Hit or Miss, and then I was at a brand that they had AJ Wright. It's a great company, and, you know, it's a local company. It's, you know, again, it's a big company. You don't realize it. We think of it here in Massachusetts as being a local company, and it is, but it is national and international, and it's each division had its own brand. Hit or Miss was a brand that started, and actually Carol Meyerowitz was a Slacks buyer at one time there, and she's went on to be the CEO of TJX. But it, you know, so there was, there's, it's such a huge company. It's a great run company. And it's, but it's also where I found out that retail was not for me anymore, because
and
it
yet
was
you spent a lot of time there.
Not that much, but it was changing. You know, the internet was coming in. I had done it for a lot of years. I traveled the world. I was a product manager for a long time, and I would go overseas and do a lot of product development. And I just really wanted to stay home and not travel as much. When you're a buyer for TJX, you're, you know, usually Tuesday or Wednesday morning, you're on the Long Island Expressway going into New York, and you're coming home on Thursday night on a flight. So that's great, but you just got to be signed up for that lifestyle.
Yeah, not easy. So from your experiences in retail, what would you say are some of the biggest takeaways or lessons learned from that experience? That's another tough question, another big question, at least.
You know,
I mean, you mentioned relationships.
It's, you know, it's important to stay on track, to build out your plans, build good relationships. You know, all of those things that make you successful as a buyer. And work with your teams, internal teams, to help develop that profit plan. you know, it's, you work with it to keep going.
And that word plan is something you use every day, right? You work with clients. And that, in fact, that's what I want to go, where I want to go now. You took a turn, you left, decided to leave retail. I want to ask you about that decision to get into financial services. So talk about what was going through your head at that point, why you decided that retail, you know, as good as it is, wasn't for you anymore, and you got into financial services. What was behind that?
I had, you know, I'd done that stint at Fairmarket and New Mediary, which was technology sales. Right. I was looking for something else. And as life happens,
yep.
I was meeting a friend at the Capitol Grill in Chestnut Hill, mm-hmm. and I sat down next to someone. We started chatting, and he was a, he had, I don't know if he still has it or not, the certification for long-term care planning certification. Mm-hmm. And we spoke for a long while. And, you know, we, the next morning, of course, I was on the Long Island Expressway into Manhattan.
Yeah.
And he called me and he said, you know what? I think you should come to my training course, which was, you know, a couple weeks away.
Yep.
And he said, what's the worst case? You spend 2 days and you learn about something that you will need, and that's long-term care. So long-term care insurance. Yeah. So I attended the course in June, and I got it. Like I said, my parents were in insurance, so I mm-hmm. got the lingo. And at one of the breaks, I went outside and I was talking to somebody. And he said to me, well, my girlfriend's in retailing, and if you work at that like she does, which is pretty hard, you'll be successful in this business. Mm. So it just kind of how life mm-hmm. presents itself. So that's how I made the transition. Seems like a big U-turn or left turn, but to me, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, you're still dealing with people. I mean, everything's about people anyway. Right?
Yeah, it is.
What was the hardest part of making that decision? You had to, I mean, that's cutting, right? That's cutting a bridge almost, burning a bridge.
Oh, yeah.
What
oh,
was
yeah.
the scariest or toughest part of the decision itself?
So you've always, you know, been coaching. You always hear the thing where you get to the other side of the river and you're burning yeah. the boat so you can't go back, right?
Right.
It wasn't me. It was everybody else. You know, it was my brother-in-law, my family, mm-hmm. you know, hey, you know, why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
And I remember my brother-in-law said, oh, here, call Amanda. She's been in that business for 20 years. And I called her and I said, you know, hey, you know, did you do this? Did you get your CFP? Yep. It was hard. Did you do this? Yep, it was hard. And, you know, all along the way. And then she said, but you know, after 5 or 6 years, you're in a position where you'd love it and you never yeah. think of going back.
Yeah.
And
Go ahead. Sorry.
That's kind of how I feel when you're talking about retail.
Yeah.
It's like a different lifetime ago because I love what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm very happy having my own business, yeah. working with my people. You know, their success is my success. Mm.
So you started at Commonwealth Financial. You're there twice. You're there now, obviously. But
it was a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So one of the guys that stood outside with me said, oh, come on in and talk to people. And at that point, they didn't have a good training. They were in a transition. Mm-hmm. And like I think I said to you on the break, you know, I wish I would have stayed 5 more months because
yeah.
the people that are running it now came and I made a quick detour over to MetLife for about 5 years. And then I mm-hmm. came back because they were working with the type of business owners that I work with. And they had so much more infrastructure and, you know, so I've been there 10 years.
Yeah.
And I love it. I would not think of going anyplace else. I get, you know, probably about 5 or 6 calls every week or month. And it's, I don't even entertain any because I'm very happy there.
Yeah, you and I have known each other for a number of years, and you always come across as passionate. You always come across as happy and content, and, you know, content in that you like what you're doing, not content yeah. in where you are. You're always growing. You're always pushing. But let's come back. Let's take another break. It's the bottom of the hour. We'll be back in just a couple more minutes with Martha Slate of Commonwealth Financial Group, and we'll get into the rest of her career and what she does today.
You're listening to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan on W4CY Radio. That's W4CY.com. Don't go away. More helpful information is coming right up, right here on Winning Business Radio.
Hey, this is Johnny Three Tears from Hollywood Undead, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
I do whatever it takes to make it breakthrough. Anything I'm face to face with, it's true.
Have you ever dreamed of having your own radio show? Well, W4CY Radio makes dreams come true. You can be a radio personality on the number one ranked internet radio station in West Palm Beach, Florida. We can be heard in 105 countries in all U.S. states. Promote your business, earn up to $10,000 per month and more. It's all up to you. Have fun and be heard. Call 561-506-4031. That's 561-506-4031. Start your radio show now.
This is Colt Ford, and you're listening to W4CY Radio.
Be seen, be heard on the internet's number one ranked radio station right here in West Palm Beach. What a way for your business to have a voice. Now is the time to advertise your business on W4CY.com. Call 561-506-4031 for a deal you won't refuse. Again, that's 561-506-4031. Don't wait. Call now.
And now back to Winning Business Radio with Kevin Hallinan, presenting exciting topics and expert guests with one goal in mind: to help you succeed in business. Here once again is Kevin Hallinan.
We're back with Martha Slate, partner at Commonwealth Financial Group. And Martha, we were just talking about the hardest part of the decision. You're going into the first stint, the cup of coffee, as you called it, at Commonwealth. What is there anything else? Because now I want to get into your work now, and some of your designations and who you work with and all those things, the good stuff. What are a couple things you might do differently given the opportunity, whether it's career-wise career-wise?
Yeah, I think I probably would have stayed at Commonwealth.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's, everything is a gift, right? It was great to learn a different program. I went to Bay State Financial. Mm-hmm. They're a big organization. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of great people there. And I learned a different way of doing business. So, yeah. You try to learn from every step that you make, the good and the bad, and what you would do again, and, just learn from that.
Yep, that's good. So talk about these titles for a minute. At Bay State, you were a financial representative. And then when you get back to Commonwealth, financial planner. What are the differences in those two? Let's start there.
So I consider myself a financial planner, right? Mm-hmm.
So you have the CFP designation.
Yeah. So that's like the gold standard in mm-hmm. financial planning. You know, it's the six elements of what you should have as far as a personal financial plan. Mm-hmm. And it's really, that's where I started. Mm-hmm. I started with certification for long-term care planning,
right,
that I took prior to being in the business. And then I did work in long-term care, but I truly believe you really have to have a balanced attack. You can't just have one product that you're selling. So, becoming a certified financial planner was my goal, which I achieved. And then
that was the one that your friend said it was hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So easy. What an easy test. So then I, after I became a CFP, I started working with a lot of owner-managed businesses. Mm. They were very similar to the people that I bought from when I was a clothing buyer. Yeah. And frankly, they were similar to my family's business. And, you know, I really enjoyed them. So I think the next thing I took was, well, I took the Certified Business Exit Consultant with Pinnacle, mm-hmm. Which was great because, you know, the baby boomers are going through the system, aging up, and they'll be selling their business or trying to transition their business. So that to me is some place that I work a lot with, you know, whether they're going to transition the business to their children, to their employees, or sell their business. And then I think after that, I took Certified Family Business Specialist.
Yeah, tell me about that one.
So that is a program offered by the American College, which is the industry's planning institution. Mm-hmm. And the American College, I went there in outside of Philadelphia, and it was a 2-year program just to become a certified family business specialist. Honestly, it's a lot of the same coursework that is in the CFP and the CBEC, but there was a lot of, when you work in family business, it's family and it's personal, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, if you're in a family business and you're sitting down at Thanksgiving dinner, last year, not this year,
right.
But you're sitting there with your family, and some of them may be in the business and some of them may not be in the business. And it's how do you work through all of that and still maintain that business relationship?
Yeah.
So that was the next designation that I achieved. And the last was accredited fiduciary, AIF, which is, so that means that you treat all your clients as fair. It's not a suitability. It's more about putting your clients' interests before your own.
Mm-hmm. Not only is that important, it's also required.
Yep.
What advice would you have for somebody thinking about maybe entering financial services as a profession?
There's a lot of ways to enter it. You know, there's a lot of great I would get with somebody that actually has a program, mm-hmm. and that you can talk with somebody that's newly out of the program. Our group's Commonwealth Financial Group has a very structured program.
Yeah, I've always heard good things.
That say that they have a program and they don't. You're putting foot with a mentor. I'd also advise them to make sure that they've got 5 years in the tank that they can do this, mm-hmm. because it does take 5 years to figure out which lane you want to take when you work as a financial planner, because you will find affinities to one certain, maybe it's a client group. I said I work with business owners. There's a lot of people that work with executives or that work with doctors. You know, you want to find your niche.
Yep.
And it does take a while to do that.
So talk about your ideal or typical client. And I ask that question. I kind of moved it around here a little bit because you really know we're a product of our own experiences, right? And you, from what I can see, you tend to, whether it's planned or otherwise, have a focus on business owners because that's something you know.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Very fair. I grew up in a family business. I know that. I worked with a lot of family businesses when I was a buyer. I work really well with them. I get, mm-hmm. I have an entrepreneurial spirit.
For
I
sure.
love when people talk to me about what they're doing with their business. And I get excited for them, whether it's, you know, they're making the shift from working for somebody to working for themselves, or whether it's a family business and they're just trying to re-engineer it. Mm. So I enjoy all of that. And understanding how the business works is as important to me, because that's the engine that generates the wealth as far as their own personal financial plan. So that business, you know, that is the engine. And I talk about the portfolio of wealth because a lot of business owners have two or three assets that they're working with. They have the business itself, they may have an adjacent business, they may have the real estate that is associated with the business. Then they, you know, generally they're not, and I have a couple of them, but, you know, those folks that are two W-2 employees and that's it, it's not as exciting to me as the people that, because there's, you know, so much more excitement for me to understand how they're going to build out that wealth.
Talk about your typical client in terms of the problems that you solve for them. Why do they come to you?
A lot of them don't know that they have problems.
Right.
They just don't, you know, they're kind of getting to the age where they don't know what to do with their business. Mm-hmm. And they kind of have the ostrich syndrome. They put their head in their sand and they say, you know, another 5 years, I'm going to have this business. I'll do that. I'll sell in another 5 years, but they don't take any steps to, you know, get rid of that business in 5 years. So all of a sudden they wake up and they're 70 and now they've lost value of being able to do it in a planned method. Mm. So a lot of times I have to really talk to people and understand and kind of push them in a gentle way to taking some steps just to be ready. I had a client that sold their business last year, and you know, we had a 5-year plan that we were 2.5 years into, but mm-hmm. because he was aware of what he needed to do, he was able to take those steps when somebody knocked on his door. And he was able to understand that the knock on the door was a real knock, not just somebody kicking the tires.
And so just for clarity, you're not the person that's going to broker that business. You're the person that's going to prepare that owner for that shift, that transition.
No, I usually have, so you and I are both members of Provisors, right. And we have teams of, you know, we have people that we can reach out to in Provisors that will help us do those things. Mm. You know, I'm not an accountant, I'm not an attorney. Mm-hmm. That's where I reach out to my Provisors people that our accountants, our attorneys, our MMA brokers, so that they can assist my clients and help build out my team. Mm-hmm.
Does location matter? Can they be anywhere? Where do your clients tend to be?
They tend to be in the Northeast, mm-hmm. Although we do have clients that are in the Midwest, the mm-hmm. South. But, you know, with everything being on Zoom, they can be just about anywhere.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that one.
Yeah.
Let me back up. I want to ask you about running your own practice. So you have a team that you can rely on. Commonwealth provides a ton of resources, I'm sure. But within that, you run your own practice. So talk about that, what it looks like, why you like it that way, et cetera.
Well, I have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So I have my own staff that work for me, that help me build out my business. Mm-hmm. But I also have a huge team of people, whether it's the design center that helps me with all the intricacies of that, and my compliance team, my marketing team. Mm-hmm. And also I have at Commonwealth, we have a great group of people that are peers that I can reach out to.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk a lot about how we are all growing in our business and, you know, help each other.
I'm going to back up to your bio. There was one point I wanted you to clarify. Let's see. You talk about, here it is. you have a unique process, right? It says you have a unique process and unified approach, simplifying the complexity of modern day wealth management. I mean, today there's just so many. It's so complicated, right?
Yeah.
But talk about your unique process.
So I have a process that I work with everybody on. And, it's kind of that you got to go through a plan. I've got to understand it. We, talk about, we have a bunch of steps that we go through to really understand, because people leave things out.
So you're asking a lot of questions.
It's comprehensive. Yeah. Yes, there's facts and figures, but a lot of what I deal with is emotion, right? Mm. Go back to the certified family business specialist.
Yeah.
There's a lot of emotion, especially when you're talking to an owner-managed business, that's their baby.
Yeah.
And, so there's emotion between if they've got family in the business, family none in the business, so we talk a lot about what they want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. I'm not the hero in this story. The hero.
That's good.
I'm just the guide. I'm the person that helps them make progress to what they want to achieve.
That's awesome.
So it's really helping. So Commonwealth has a lot of people that help me facilitate that. Mm-hmm. So my process is pretty much I start and stop with them. I, help them. We have a series of meetings. I mean, everything is built out into process and workflows. Mm-hmm. Every year, my clients and I have a strategy session. We say, what do you want to accomplish this year? What's on your mind? What's been bugging you? And that's what we take care of every year.
So I know we're not here to give advice. We're here to give business advice, that sort of thing, life advice, certainly not financial advice. But what are some of the typical mistakes you've seen people make with their finances? I don't mean, hey, they invest in a specific stock. That's, silly.
No. But to me, the biggest mistake is people, it's not a mistake. They're anxious about their money.
Mm-hmm.
They think, and some wealth managers, advisors, they say, oh, he wants to take my money.
Yeah.
If you find the right one, he's going to be the guide or she's going to be the coach to help you make financial progress.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake people make is they don't face the reality of what they have and they don't put goals in as far as what they want to accomplish.
Yeah, it's the old, I know it's been said a million times, but it's appropriate. People don't plan to fail.
They
fail to plan, right? So I'm hearing from other advisors that have said this awful year that we'll probably erase from the history books, 2020, only if, has been good for business. What's been your experience?
It has been. Mm. And it's basically because I'm on the phone constantly with people.
Yeah.
I probably spoke to people between March and May.
Yeah.
I spoke to everybody at least three times, if not more.
Wow.
And, I do a round robin every couple of months just to talk to everybody, just even to say, hi, how are you? And it has nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's just, how are you doing?
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that too. Yeah.
Just because it's not about the functionality, it's just the emotions are, everybody's grinding their teeth at night and worried and, we got to help each other get through this craziness.
So other than Zoom, how's your business changed?
I was doing a lot of Zoom before. I had a place in Boston and Westport. Yeah. I love, I shouldn't say that, it's going to leak out here, but it's a beautiful town right on the water. And I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, I said to somebody at Commonwealth, hey, I was thinking about spending more time there. And he said to me, you've got Skype meetings, and I didn't even know Zoom was,
It wasn't a thing. Well, it was, but it wasn't ubiquitous.
So when March 1st, I was doing about 40% of my meetings via Zoom or Skype or whatever. And so I had already made that transition. I was still seeing people in person, but so now I'm 100% Zoom. Yeah. Although I shouldn't say that. Now I do about 80% Zoom, and then about 20% are just calls, and I still see a couple of people.
Hey, we are unbelievably out of time. Time flies. What's the best way for people to reach out and get in touch with you, Martha?
Martha Slate. I'm on the Commonwealth Financial Group website. I'm on LinkedIn, you know, that's probably the best way to go.
Perfect. And Slate is S-L-A-I-G-H-T.
Correct.
Well, thank you so much for being here. You've been awesome. You got it. And thanks everybody for listening. As most of you know, it's a show about business and business challenges and successes. If you've got concerns about the growth of your company, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or Facebook at Winning Business Radio. You can drop me a note, kevin@winningbusinessradio.com. Our company is Winning Incorporated. We develop sales teams into high achievers and sales leaders into true coaches and mentors. We're part of Sandler Training. We're not right for everybody, but maybe we should have a conversation. Thank you, as always, to my favorite engineer, Rebel Medler. Tune in again next Monday, December 7th at 4 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Michelle Cuthbert, founder, strategist, and creative director of Baker Creative. Until then, this is Kevin Hallinan.
You've been listening to Winning Business Radio with your host, Kevin Hallinan. If you missed any part of this episode, the podcast is available on Talk 4 Podcasting and iHeartRadio. For more information and questions, go to winningbusinessradio.com or check us out on social media. Tune in again next week and every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time to listen live to Winning Business Radio on W4CY Radio, W4CY.com. Until then, let's succeed where others have failed and win in business with Kevin Hallinan and Winning Business Radio.